Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We are continuing our study today in Titus, the second chapter, with the words that Paul has communicated to Titus concerning sound doctrine. And as we have gone through these, taking a look at these first five verses, we left off at the fifth verse, and we continue to look at what Paul communicates specifically concerning sound doctrine in relation to the older men, the older women, and the younger women thus far. But we will also see some degree of guidance concerning the young men as well. But what we were looking at specifically was what Paul communicates to Titus in verses 3 through 5 concerning the older women and this relationship that exists between the older women and the young women. And this is a teaching relationship that has a specific purpose, and this is spelled out in Paul's words in these verses. As we had looked at where Paul communicates that the aged women are to behave in such a way that is according to holiness. And we've talked about this already, that they are to behave in a godly way. They are to be godly women. And it then communicates, or Paul then communicates, that part of the responsibility of the older women is to teach good things, and more specifically, that they will teach the young women. And this is what I was focusing on, speaking about how we seem to lack this relationship in the church now, where we cluster the older women together and we cluster the younger women together. And never the twain shall meet. And, you know, and this is, again, most unfortunate, because the biblical guidance, according to sound doctrine or sound instruction, is for the older women to teach the young women. And then specifically what they are to teach them is they are to teach them godliness. And this is what Paul had communicated starting in the fourth verse, again in Titus chapter 2, concerning sound doctrine or uncorrupt instruction. The older women are to teach the young women. In the King James, it says to be sober. In the New American Standard, in verse 4, it says so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. And then in the King James, it speaks of the young women being sober, being taught to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And it goes on to basically express the same things that I just read in the New American Standard Bible. So as we're looking at this, the purpose is for the older women to teach the young women the soundness of the faith, what it means to be a godly woman, the discipline and the sobriety that comes with being a woman of faith, a godly woman. And this is something that is, I think we certainly have the tendency to either dismiss it or to redefine it. And by that, I mean, it's easy to establish our own standards in relation to godliness rather than to receive what God communicates in this, which is called sound doctrine. So as we continue to consider the purpose for Titus being here in Crete, specifically, according to what Paul communicates in verse 5 in the first chapter, again, it is to set things in order, or he, more specifically, Titus, is here to set things in order and to ordain elders throughout each city, and that is to set in order the things that are lacking and to preach and to teach sound doctrine. And this is, again, about speaking, preaching, teaching, and living. And this is what I mean about sort of maybe being indifferent to the importance of sound doctrine, or just dismissing it, or concluding that it's antiquated and therefore non-applicable for the modern day believer. But a believer is a believer is a believer. And we march by the same orders that the Lord has communicated in his word. And that is for women as well as men. And I'll speak a little more to this as we move through. But again, the intent here is to teach and to preach what is uncorrupt. And specifically in relation to the older women teaching the young women, it is the discipline that comes with this faith. And I think we focus a lot on discipline in the lives of men, but I don't know how often I've heard, I assure you it hasn't been often at all, but I don't recall hearing very much in terms of the discipline that it takes to be a godly woman. I hear a lot, and there was a book on the disciplines, I think, of a godly man, but I don't hear a lot about the disciplines or the discipline of a godly woman, being sober, being of sound mind as a woman of faith, as a one who follows the Lord Jesus Christ, a woman who follows the Lord Jesus Christ. Typically, what's communicated in relation to women is how often you've been wounded and how much you've been hurt. And it tends to deal with the emotional aspects of your life rather than your faith and the discipline of your faith and your desire to seek God and to know him and to live for him. And I'm going to issue that challenge because I just don't hear it or see it much in relation to women. It seems to be bent toward men, and I just don't know if we view it to be as serious for women as we do for men. But this is a call to women, for the older women to teach the young women to be sober and to be disciplined in their lives and to be of sound mind. And as we had spoken before about the rest of this verse, that is verse 4, again, to love their husbands and to love their children. And I spoke about that some, and we went on to verse 5, speaking of being sensible in the New American Standard, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands. And this is translated in the King James as being obedient to their own husbands. And again, when we look at this, these are things that are not politically correct. They certainly go against the grain of our day. You know, it goes against what is taught in relation to women and the role of women in our time. And the Bible is very clear regarding the roles, the responsibilities, and the purpose for which God created woman. And you have a high calling. You have a high calling, particularly within the family of God, and more specifically, within the body of Christ. And you must take that calling as serious as a man takes his calling. And it's very, very important that you realize that, both the older women in your role within the church and the young women in your role, both within the church and within the home. So the purpose for this, as is spelled out here, is so that the word of God will not be dishonored. And the King James says blasphemed, so that the word of God will not be blasphemed. And this, again, has to do with speaking against the word of God. The purpose of the godly conduct is to reflect God and to honor him, not just in what we say, but in how we live. And that's why the word that's communicated here is so that the word of God will not be dishonored. And you look at conduct or behavior as it relates to the young women specifically here. And what we have to realize is that inasmuch as every sinner is called out of sin and into the marvelous light of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, it's no different for the woman, and it's no different for the role of the woman and the responsibility of the woman. The disciplined life, the life of sobriety, the life of correction, the life of soundness of mind, the life of godliness. So when we consider this, you know, your conduct reflects your faith. And if we are not living in accordance with the God, the word of God who we claim to serve, then certainly, you know, God's word is not going to be honored because our conduct is not in line with the word of God. And therefore, we are not in line with God himself. So that's what this is communicating when we talk about the word of God being dishonored. It is spoken evil of in the sense that we are not honoring God and his word in our lives. And therefore, by observation, those who witness this conclude that we have no witness at all. And therefore, God is not to be honored because his people live just like we do. And that means that the church is living just like the world. And more specifically, the women of the church is living just like the women of the world. And again, you have to know the history here in terms of what the challenge is for a godly people living in an ungodly world, and specifically in Crete, living in an ungodly place. And it's the same for you and for me. So the question is to conform or not to conform. And the Apostle Paul addresses this in Romans, the 12th chapter, where he talks about what our responsibilities are, but he speaks to the church in relation to how they are to not conform to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. And that includes you and me. And therefore, we should demonstrate or conduct ourselves in a way that is in line with God and his word. And there's no difference between the two. So this is the call to women, and you must take this as serious as anything else in our Christian walk. And this is very much a part of your walk, and it's a part of your responsibility, both for the older women and the younger women. So when we look at this and we consider this, this is a challenge to both the older and the younger women regarding how they are to live and what is to be taught from the older women to the younger women. And this is in accordance with sound doctrine, uncorrupt instruction. And then what is communicated in the sixth verse is for young men, and what it says for or concerning young men is for young men likewise. So again, in verse 6, it's communicated here in the New American Standard, likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. So we know that it's important also for the young men to conduct themselves and to live in a godly way as well. And that has to do with their soundness of mind. We're talking about urging and calling the young men to a life of sobriety, and that is sobriety of mind, moderation, to live a sober life. And I reiterate, this is not just in relation to alcohol. It's not confined to being sober in relation to drinking. It is more, seems to point more to your state of mind, your frame of mind, your sanity, so to speak, to be in your right mind. And this is what it says about young men, because, you know, I know from my own experience that during the younger years, you know, we can be reckless and we can live without restraint. And that is insanity. That's spiritual insanity that's manifested in our behavior. So, you know, this is what he's speaking to. And the reason that this is not as exhaustive concerning the young men, because what you have to keep in mind is the elders and the bishops and Titus are working more intimately with the men. So this relationship between the men is going to be more directly associated with the elders, the bishops, the pastors, the teachers. This is going to be a more direct relationship. Whereas with the women, when we talk about sound doctrine, and this is why it's important for us to understand the role of women regarding leadership within the church, the Bible does not endorse that as it relates to men and as it relates to being a pastor, as it relates to being a preacher or teacher, specifically over men. So when we consider this, the bishop or the elder, the pastors work more intimately and more directly with the men. And what you'll find in terms of the women is there is this, the expectation, according to the word of God, that the older women will teach the younger women. So that's what I always say as it relates to women who say they're called to preach. I say, well, you got plenty of women to preach to. You have plenty of women to influence. You have been called specifically by God for the purpose of teaching younger women. And what we have now, and again, brace for impact, because this is not politically correct even within the church. What we have now is a lot of women coming to the forefront and proclaiming their liberation within the church, and therefore seeking to dominate positions of pastoral authority and assume positions of pastoral authority or authority within the church, when in actuality, God hasn't called you to that because his word says so. And therefore, we are in direct opposition to God and his word, because his word does not endorse the authority of a woman over a man within the church. It does not. God does not. So I think one of the reasons why we're so far from having women in their proper roles influencing other women within the church is because everybody's trying to jump up into the pulpit and say that God has called them to pastor when the word of God very clearly is in opposition to that. God does not endorse that. So when we speak of these things in the roles from, as I pointed out, when we look at men, women, and children and how sound doctrine communicates what God requires of men, women, and children within the church specifically, then we've got to get in line with that. And we are way out of order, and we are failing miserably because we are calling ourselves the people of God, the church of God, and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet we're going in the opposite direction because we are disobeying what his word clearly communicates. And, you know, the only way to be right with God is to be obedient to God and his word. And again, there's no difference between God and his word. So this is sound doctrine. The men, the women, and what their roles are within the church, including in relation to their children. And I spoke before as we went through these verses. And again, we're looking at Titus chapter 2. We've gone through verses 1 through 6. And as I spoke through these verses about the different challenges, and particularly when we talked about divorce and how divorce, the article that I shared with you regarding divorce, how divorce is a business and how to get a cheap divorce and the convenience of divorce and things of that nature. And it is in conflict with what the Word of God is communicating here. In abortion, likewise, the same thing. When it says for women to love their husbands, to love their children, this is what the older women are to teach to the younger women. And these are what I identify as obstacles and hindrances to the teaching, hearing, and obedience to sound doctrine, you know. And within the family, within the family unit, both the family of God and as we understand the family within the as a household, as it were, then we have become very much desensitized to the standard that God calls us to within our families. And that is to say, as it relates to the husbands, the wives, and the children. So for example, as I mentioned before when I was talking about abortion, now we have become, you know, we express this pro-right stance within the church, and we oftentimes speak again to this liberation and to this freedom for the woman to choose and to terminate her pregnancy because it's her body. But we make it seem as if she is not accountable to God, particularly as a woman who claims to follow God. And this is part of the instruction that she is to receive, not just from the pulpit, but from the older women. And it's the same with the relationships between the husbands and wives and the role of the wife and the role of the husband. And again, we almost seem that to endorse whatever is most convenient for you and confuse that for God's standard. And we announce it as if God is pleased with it and he accepts it and understands it. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not something that is, you know, we don't qualify it as the unpardonable sin, but it's sin nonetheless. And I think we have become so desensitized to it that we no longer see it as sin. We see it as a choice and an option that is not opposed to God, when in all reality, it is opposed to God. And therefore, we are disobeying God. And this is where, again, where we get to verse 5, where it speaks again, the purpose for us living in accordance with God's word in obedience to sound doctrine is so that the word of God will not be dishonored. And yet, as I shared with you from part of the research on abortion in particular, 62% of those who have abortions claim to be of people of faith. You know, they claim a religious faith. And that doesn't necessarily mean Christianity for everybody, but it sure does mean that there are some Christian women who are having abortions. And again, likewise with divorce and so on and so forth. So I want to sort of go into a holding pattern here, again, as it relates to Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And I want to speak to the realities of our time, sort of the hindrances and obstacles or challenges in relation to sound doctrine and how it is certainly presenting a challenge for those who claim to follow God and for those who are in roles of leadership, pastoring and teaching within the church. So this is what I want to point out as obstacles and hindrances. Obviously, what I spoke to already, divorce and abortion, and this is a reality. This is a reality of our day. This is a reality of our time. And we must realize that these are issues that are not just taking place outside the church, but they are taking place within the church. And again, this is not in line with sound doctrine. So we must present the teaching of God that corrects this and that gets us all in line with the word of God so that we are not presenting different truths, as it were, because there's only one truth, and that is the word of God and what God communicates. And then we have issues like domestic violence and child neglect and child abuse. And these are realities, again, within the church. And we do a great job ignoring issues like this. And we seem to cover things up very well in the name of grace. And listen, there are things that people must address and that people may need to deal with legally. And we are not in the position to excuse things that require legal attention. And when we speak about domestic violence and child neglect and child abuse, we've got to be more aware of the reality and not dismiss it in the name of grace, because that's foolishness. So these are, again, the things that we deal with within the framework of the family, and the church is comprised of family. So when we look at the roles of men, women, and children, that's what we're talking about. And these are realities that take place within households. And I'm not just talking about in poor communities. These things are taking place in the suburbs as well as in the ghettos and the projects. So don't be naive and think that this is something that's confined to poor people of a particular culture. It is an issue both for rich and for poor, for black, white, brown, yellow, everybody in between. So it's very important for us to understand this. Also, sexual abuse and incest. I was surprised to find out when I studied marriage and family that a great deal of incest takes place between biological fathers and their daughters, the biological fathers of daughters or of children. And before I took that class, I thought it was always the stepfather or somebody in the family who wasn't related by blood. And that is not the case. So sexual abuse and incest is real. So when we speak of teaching the younger women and teaching the young men, and as well as the older women and the older men, I don't want to dismiss this as if these can't be issues in among elders as well, because it definitely can be and has been and is. So, but when it comes to these roles of teaching and trying to communicate sound doctrine, we don't communicate truth apart from reality. And that is to say, we've got to address the issues that are taking place in the midst of the teaching that we are attempting to communicate, the message that we're attempting to communicate. And we've got to be realistic about the circumstances. So sexual abuse and incest can start a very, very dark cycle for women and men and boys and girls. And again, this is sort of where we operate sometime as a church in relation to sound doctrine and the roles of the men and women within the church, and including the children and how we treat the children and the experiences of the children. And then we also have the perpetual cycle of generational dysfunction, which, again, this is a cycle that so many are caught up in. Women are caught up in this cycle as a result of sexual abuse that they've experienced. And then you go into some of the other things that I'm going to talk about in relation to this, how these things are manifested and what they lead to. So we're going to stop here for right now, and Lord willing, we'll resume this study in Titus, the second chapter, and particularly talking about some of the obstacles and hindrances as it relates to sound doctrine and the roles of men and women within the church, including the children. So until the next time, remember that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God bless you.